Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're about to get into the Astros and Carlos Correa going to a familiar place. But before we do, I just got to say something.
You got something for me?
I got something for you, John. And this is something every day. I don't know how many people can relate to this, but it's involving the most popular social media site in the world.
Facebook?
Not Twitter, Facebook.
No.
Facebook. Let me just say this. When we become friends on Facebook, hey, bro, don't wave at me. Like, I don't know. I don't know what this wave thing is. Don't wave at me, man. Like, I don't. What is that? What am I supposed to do to that?
I wouldn't mind you waving, but I'm always I'm always skeptical that it's some sort of spam.
But why are you waving? Why don't you just say what up or something? Like,
what up,
waving.
Bro? What up, bro?
Waving.
Oh, can I say something about Facebook real quick?
Don't thank me for the ad either.
Yeah, before. Well, I do like that because I think it's courteous, but I want to say something about Facebook real
quick. Go ahead.
Before we get into Carlos Correa. You know the Bite Me podcast that we do every week?
Nah, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's off the charts, man. It's off the charts. Are you a subscriber, by the way? We've got like thousands.
I'm subscribed.
No, you're not.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Lying your ass
yes,
off.
I am.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Good, good.
I subscribe and unsubscribe.
Okay.
It's good for you.
Oh, that is good for me. But we have a Facebook page now, because speaking of Facebook friends, I'm at the limit. I got 5,000. I'm like real close
you're
to 5,000.
So cool.
So I got a lot of people that always want to ask me questions and ask Captain Scott questions about the podcast. So I created a Bite Me podcast, Bite Me Saltwater Fishing podcast page.
Okay.
So if you want to join that page, you can reach me that way.
There you go.
So that way, if anybody has any, and it posted today. Thank you, Figgy. New podcast today.
Why don't you really be gangster and just give out your cell phone number?
Who did that the other day?
Mike Jones used to do it.
281-3308. 004?
Yes!
Yeah, baby!
Now that's the OG.
That one deep to right field and gone! A leadoff home run for George Springer. He does it again. Now Altuve to right field. Did they do it back to back? They did! It's 2-1 Houston.
Call courtesy of AT&T Sports. Astros get the win yesterday against the Tigers. They win 6-3. Aaron Sanchez actually only lasted 2 1/3 innings. He went on the injured list afterwards. But George Springer leads off the game with a home run, the 10th time this season he's done so, and then the 34th of his career. And then Jose Altuve follows up with four bags, Mr. Bellhop, as well. This is the first time since May 2017 that the Astros have led off a game with back-to-back bombs. They are now two games behind the Yankees for the best record in the American League and in all of baseball. That's the good news. However, the bad news, a familiar place looks inevitable for Carlos Correa. And this was AJ Hinch talking about Carlos Correa, who left over the weekend with back discomfort. This is AJ Hinch talking about Carlos Correa and if he could avoid the injured list.
He had a battery of tests today. Saw a couple of doctors. He's doing a little bit better. He's not doing well enough to play, and I'm not optimistic that he's going to be able to avoid the IL. We'll make that determination tonight and into tomorrow.
It ain't great. I mean, there's no other way to put it,
man.
Carlos Correa has got a reputation. We've been saying for the last couple of years, boy, he's going to get a reputation as injury prone. He's got it in a reputation as being injury prone. And with this team, he's a generational talent. He is a superb player. One of, Hall of Fame skills, you know, skills. Make that clear. That is just going to be, you know, it's going to be hanging over his head until it's not. You know, it's every year. 2017, tore thumb ligament, and then re-injured the thumb. 2018, missed a bunch of time when he hurt his back. 2019, broken rib, as we all know, getting the massage. Yeah, right. And then lower back again. So three straight years, significant time. He's injury prone until he's not, and he's injury prone.
Is Sparkle Princess going to put out a video about, you know, this not being her fault, this injury? Or is this one just okay?
Our love story. Hey guys, welcome back to my channel.
I could hear that every day.
Is she done with that?
No, No. Oh, gosh, no. Now, I don't know if she's going to.
Hell no.
I don't know if she's going to necessarily address this, but she is definitely going to be a part of the story as much as she can be, right?
I don't know, man. He was playing some good ball. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but oh, hell. He was playing better ball when she stopped putting up YouTube channel stuff and making him be in it.
You think? I don't need to say anything more than that.
I mean, it's just a fact, John. When he came back after being
hurt. He was crushing.
Before that, he was playing okay.
Right.
But when he came back and he wasn't doing any of these YouTube channels, Carlos Correa looked like A-Rod. Mm-hmm. Did you see those bombs he dropped this weekend?
Oh, come on now.
He's dropping bombs. You see that arm, that hose?
Oh, he's had two throws that were like. The relay throw was the most impressive one, or the one to left field, because you could see a good throw from the left fielder and then a freaking laser. You know, you could see the difference in his arm strength and a Major League Baseball player, outfielder.
I want to give some props because I'm not necessarily a media critic, but I'm not a media critic. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin does a good job filling in for Callis with the stats. Kevin has those stats on deck. There's a lot of play-by-play guys that have to ask for the stats.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's got those stats on deck quickly and very, very efficiently.
Eschenfelder, he's a good friend of mine.
Class act.
So I'm a little biased.
Total class act. Total professional. Love him.
I mean, I don't want to say underrated because everybody knows him, but to step in like that.
His stats are on point, man. Yeah. I mean, and it's a lot of pressure because baseball fans are creatures of habit. You like hearing the same thing. It's almost like you like hearing the same thing. But Kevin, man, I got to give him some respect yesterday because that dude was on it with the stats. He had it ready to go. It was awesome, mm-hmm. awesome to hear. But the bottom line is this. The Astros, if we're looking at this team, Sanchez going to the injured list, not a big deal. I don't expect him to be a part of the playoff rotation. You saw Peacock come back yesterday. He didn't last very long. 35 games remaining. Two games to make up with the Yankees. I think they're going to make up those two games, but we need Carlos Correa to be ready to go. So if you need to rest him, I know Diaz is out as well. Mayfield got called up yesterday. He had a nice little double that started the runs in the second inning.
Right.
Michael Brantley, two-run double. Carlos Correa needs to be ready to go because when Carlos Correa is at his best and he's doing his thing, he's one of the best in the game, and you need Carlos Correa to be ready to go for the postseason. So far, they've been fortunate because with all these injuries, mm-hmm. Carlos has always been healthy during the postseason, and you need that. And I gotta say, you got to get the most out of Carlos while you can because there's two more years under club control after this year. I just don't see how the Astros can commit the kind of money that it's going to take to keep Carlos Correa, given the fact that he's misses 50 games a season the last 3 years. I just don't see how you can do that.
I'm not optimistic that it's just going to be 10 days. I'm really not. Only because it's the back in 2017, it's the back in 2018, it's the back in 2019. Among his other injuries. I'm sorry, guys. That's an issue. That's a long-term issue right there. That's the bad news. I can't count on him, you know, beyond these next 10 days until you start to see it. But let me ask you this. Today, the Astros are 81-46.
Best record in franchise history through that time.
35 games remaining. Give me a guess at what their record in their last 35 games should be. Without going over the top in either direction.
24-11.
24-11.
I think they'll go 24-11.
That means they're going to win 105 games.
That's what I think.
105.
That's what I think.
If they go 26-9, we're talking 107 wins. That's incredible, especially having, you know, Correa already missed all these games and missing some more, all the other injuries that have happened. This is special right now, but they got to get all their guys on board.
They're going to be fine. I mean, yeah. They're going to win the division, then it's going to be postseason time. And really what it all comes down to, and I think Sean brought this up, this was a really good point. If you have those top three dogs at the top of the rotation, and even four, I think Miley has potential to pitch some good games in the mm-hmm. postseason. But if you have those top three dogs, you got Cole, you got Verlander battling it out for the AL Cy Young, then you got Greinke, and then you got Miley,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine, but hopefully it's the lineup is full because this team just keeps raking. And by the way, shout out to Michael Effing Brantley yesterday
big
for continuing
hit.
To do what he does.
He's just
he's a pro.
He's an extra base king. I mean, he just gets extra bases like nothing. How about Yordan getting the Triple A treatment yesterday? 0-for-0 with 4 walks.
I don't ever want to see him in the field.
I do.
I don't.
I do. I think you get more engaged in the game that way.
I think you can be a DH and be valuable for a long time.
Well,
I
sure.
never want to see him. Unless it's in a World Series game, I do not want to see Yordan in the field. I don't want to hear about him pulling a hamstring, running in left field or something like that. I want Yordan Alvarez as the Cuban Poppy. I want him to be the David Ortiz DH, one of the most valuable assets on the team, and I want him doing his thing. It's kind of weird, though, because I don't feel like Yordan, and I'm not the guy that's always like, the national media types don't talk enough about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're just really – I think baseball has become such a regional sport. I don't really know that people understand what exactly is going on here with Yordan Alvarez.
Well, he's getting a lot more run as the Rookie of the Year leader, and that's going to help a lot. But you have to be on an all-star team is always been my theory. You have to be on at least one, preferably at least more than one, all-star teams before you become like a common name in baseball. Just because that's the game that everybody watches. Or in the postseason. Like Bregman, I mean, his star launched because he was a monster in his first postseason, you know? And so everybody watches postseason in the all-star game, like everybody in baseball and every most sports fans. That's when you really, you know, gain your stardom.
That's when the stars happen.
Exactly.
When all eyes are on you, that's when stars are created, according to the OG John Lopez.
It is
Landry
true.
Locker, John Lopez in the loop on a hump day. Texans going to be on the practice field about 2 hours and 11 minutes. Will Matt Khalil be there? We'll let you know. We will let you know. Stanford Brout will also be here. I got to ask you a question, John. Every
Alrighty.
Time I turn on ESPN when I go home, usually I'm getting, you know, a little bit of taste of the Lebatard shows, the
yeah.
BTIs, the Around the Horns, those kind of things. I don't really watch them as much, but a lot of times I just like having them in the background just to see what the national media types are talking about and to try to figure out how I can localize it
mm-hmm.
for our Houston audience. But the last couple weeks when I go home, I get my lunch, I turn on my TV, seeing freaking 12-year-olds play baseball.
What do you
and
have
I gotta
against
ask
12-year-olds?
You, is there too much Little League baseball on TV, OG?
Yeah, there kind of is. It's I love it. I'm a big fan of watching Little League baseball, but I want to wait until it gets like, you know, to the final few games. It's like we're watching regionals now. I mean, they're televising regional championships in this country. It's just oversaturated. It's too much, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too much, man. Could you imagine being a broadcaster and them saying you're going to go call the Little League World Series?
And the thing I really that bothers me the most, and I know they're just kids, so I'm not blaming them.
No, I'll tell you what bothers
they're
me.
They're just doing what you know that will be fun for them. So I'm not blaming the kids, but what bothers me is now that the kids are trying to create little personalities of their own.
Oh yeah,
or
they
reputations.
Know. They
like,
know.
Like who's that guy that I hit taters?
Or, I hit dingers.
I hit dingers.
The
yeah.
chubby kid.
Yeah, and so now everybody's trying to become the next you know social media star. Like by doing kooky stuff, it's too much. I love it. I love watching it, but it's a little bit too much.
I remember back in the day when Sean Burroughs' kid, who ended up playing a little bit in the big leagues, was like the star of America. And then you had Danny Almonte cheating, captivating the world. I think the parents are what bothers me the most about this because you can just tell these parents are out of control. And there's nothing worse than an overzealous Little League parent. I think you can just see the overzealousness of some of these parents in the stands, and it just kind of bothers me that these kids are having to go through this. And also, this is another thing. These kids are too damn good to be playing on mini baseball fields and not being able to lead off and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They are too good and too talented to be playing by these rules. Let's man it up a little bit. And by the way, coach, the other day I saw this coach go out there. They needed a translator because I don't remember where he was from. But he went out there, and he's talking to the kid. This kid's probably 11 or 12 years old. You know what the coach is telling him?
What's that?
You're not throwing enough curveballs.
No.
Are you trying to throw his
no.
arm out, coach? You trying to throw his arm out so you can sit there in your 40-year-old man cave and put a 12-and-under Little League trophy
Ugh.
On your roof while your son or whoever this kid is sits there and ruins his arm for his entire life? He said you're not throwing enough curveballs, John.
That's the worst.
Disgusting.
All Little Leaguers know, until you're, I would say, 14, 15, people will argue with me on this, but I'm convinced that this is the best. All you need is a fastball and changeup.
Well, also, and this is another thing, if you're a Little League dad, because I was a good Little League. I don't want to brag. I was a pretty good Little League player.
No, no, I'll brag for you. I've seen the clippings
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
You were a real good pitcher.
Six no-nos. I was good. I didn't play this soft stuff, but I was pretty good. Circle change is your friend. That's you don't need them jerking their hand. You can throw the change up. You can even incorporate a fork ball. If you can teach your kid to throw a fork ball, a circle change, a change up, you can teach them the curve a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, the kids who throw the most curves at 12 years old, I'm telling you right now, they're going to fall off quickly, especially if they have a dad telling them you're not throwing enough. If you are going to throw a curve, there's got to be a limitation because it screws up a kid's arm. These kids are growing. You got to stop. You really got to stop, dads.
I totally agree with you. I've always told people you need a fastball and a changeup until you're about 14. And location. And the reason it helps you so much with a fastball and a changeup is because really you're teaching about location, inside, outside, up, down, getting guys, setting guys up for pitches. I do have a list for you. Do you like a good
list? Give me
a list.
Oh, I love lists.
Because you talked about the parents.
What are we going, five?
The five worst parents in youth sports.
Are we going 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
All right, here we go.
Number five.
Basketball. The five worst parents in youth sports.
I can't wait to hear the other four.
You will agree with me, I think.
Well, I mean, you've experienced that.
Basketball AAU. Parents are... I've seen eight-year-olds have parents from the other team go under the basket and try to distract them from free throws.
Oh, my gosh. They're the worst with the refs, too. I don't think a lot of these parents understand how hard it is to ref basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very hard.
No question.
Number four.
Gymnastics/cheer.
Gosh. Cheers are crazy.
The worst.
That used to be our trip in high school because the girls would have their state thing at San Antonio.
Yeah.
And we would always stock the bathtub with beer and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like suitcase. Like high schoolers just acting fools.
Yeah.
Those parents were out of control.
Número tres.
Baseball.
How are they not number one?
Well, you'll see. Baseball moms, more than dads, it seems like. They get crazy about their kids.
They're mean to the umpire.
And mean to the umpire and all that.
Número dos.
Swimming. Swim parents are the second worst on my list.
And they get up at like 4 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. They keep charts and times and splits and what the other kids are swimming. And you've got to be 0.2 seconds faster than Billy, or else you won't go to the finals and all this other
regionals.
Stuff.
Regionals.
Número uno.
Figure skating moms.
Tanya Harding.
Dude, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the outfits, and she's ugly, talking about another 12-year-old girl, and how that outfit looks awful on her. And boy, she can't land that, or that wasn't a good leg, because it's all subjective, even the scoring there. At least swimming, you have a clock, you know? But it's all like subjective. 5 basketball, 4 gymnastics/cheer, 3 baseball, 2 swimming, 1 figure skating.
What about band? Does that count?
That's not a sport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can get crazy.
Yeah.
Band parents can get very crazy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Texans with the highest ceiling and the highest bust potential in 2019. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.